The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Second Stock. It's Friday. At last, we made it. It's been a very tough week. Some of us nearly didn't make it. Some shares didn't. In fact, there's quite a few shares being delisted. I talked about this yesterday, actually, John. Johnny's here in his Friday T-shirt, ready for the weekend. It's going to be a warm weekend. Climate change or just, you know, some people say it's not climate change. It's just fine.
Who knows?
Indian summer, as they call it. What do they call it?
Who knows? Let's not cause an argument.
Yeah, no. Let's try. It causes an argument. In fact, by all means, hit that subscribe button. Like, share, comment, please. Your comments help the show, you know, trundle along nicely. And so if you haven't commented before, please do. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded the Vox Markets app, please do it. I genuinely think for RNSs and content, it's one of the best things out there. I know, and literally, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. And people say, is there anything free these, you know, in this day and age? There's not a lot free, but the Vox Market app is.
It is free.
If that went, I would be lost as to where to find my RNSs because they just pop up. You know, you walk in the dog, an RNS pops up. Companies you follow. So it's very good.
A lot of work's gone into getting those Shipshape and Bristol Fashion. They are good to go. See what else has happened on the site today. So,
yeah.
If you go to the RNS page of the website, you might as well do it while we're...
Go on. RNS there.
There we go. And if you go to filter by announcement type, down the right,
Market. If you look at any filters, if you're aim for 200, so all markets on this side by announcement type.
This is what's new. This is what I like. That. So then you can really get into the detail. No more doom scrolling. Here you go.
Results and trading updates. You got operation updates.
Quick as you like.
Launches,
as well.
Mergers, acquisitions. I tell you, look at that. You can look through that.
It makes it so much quicker.
Rather than having to. I like that. Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. So, so by all means, check that out. A bit of a plug there, but it's worth using, honestly. Like I said, you know, I think one of the best charts in the world is TradingView. I think we are the best in the world at delivering RNSs via notification. And I think, you know, when the markets move quite quickly, this is what you need. Anyway, like I said, have you seen actually, John? I mean, the title of this particular Taking Stock is UK house prices fall by the most since 2009. And I thought, so what? We're used to that now. After a while, bad news doesn't keep hitting, you know? Do you remember a while back, by the way, when the Ukraine war first started and there's bombs going off and people are outraged? And of course they should be. And it's still as bad. And yet people are less outraged because as time goes on, people get less, you know, in that sense. But they say we become blasé to news, you know? And like I said, and in fact, if you look at these figures here, right? They're not that bad. The headlines want to draw people in, scare people into reading the headlines. But if you look, they fell, you know, so house prices were 4.7% lower last month in September 2022 compared with 4.7%. But listen, they said here that the falling house prices so far remains much less marked than the climb during the coronavirus pandemic. So they rose anyway. They're in bubble territory. They're only just taking off the froth. You know,
there's a lot of froth that's got to come out, but it's, you know, you're right. I mean, the media likes a good old negative headline. It does tend to shift newspapers or clicks or whatever you want to do these days. But you know, there is weakness in the housing market. You know, there's a lot of news around Help to Buy and how actually, you know, a lot of people who borrowed with sort of government support and paid, you know, a premium for new build houses might find themselves in negative equity. You know, especially when they come to remortgage, everything gets a little bit tricky. If you're trying to sell a house, you know, your buyers are getting twitchy. If you're trying to buy a house, you might be thinking about holding off in case prices fall. So it does all have an impact, and it's starting to become a bit more real, is what I say. Yeah. I know people who have, you know, lost buyers at the last minute, you know, months into a housing transaction. Yeah, it becomes real, and then the nerves, the jitters spread.
Yeah, we said yesterday, you know, that withdrawal of equity from houses gone down massively. And that's a massive knock on effect. But what I say is, I keep saying this, you know, economy markets, it's the market. The housing market is a market. And so, you know, you find people who are buying at the top when everyone's rushing to buy houses. Guy over the road from me, next door he is now, Gary, his name is, he has a plot of land next to us. He sold his bungalow across the road at the top of the market. There were people, bidding war, three people, sold it about 50 grand, more than it's actually worth now. And then he bought a land next to us, and he's built a house there. But so, you know, that house now, people want to, you know, that kind of herd mentality. You've got to buy a house, got to buy a house. That's like the stock market, you know. When prices are low, people sort of hold back a bit. Saying, well, hang on a second, you've got to try and get a bargain. Wherever you are in the market, anyway, you've got to look at companies' sort of valuation, growth, future potential valuation. Will that go up? But you've always got to try and get a good price, good value when you're investing. Anyway, look at it. Halifax average house price homes remained £39,400 above pre-pandemic levels. So not stinking off the cliff, but it is a bit of a stall, a bit of what it is. You know, people just
get. But it's a wealth effect. Housing creates a wealth effect. You know, that is the other thing that it does. When people are, you know, equity rich in terms of their house price, then they feel, you know, inclined to go out and spend. So, as I said, I'm less inclined to dismiss this stuff as, you know, a storm in a teacup, or in fact dismiss the link between what's happening on the stock market as well. There is a sort of transmission effect through the system, and it might well be psychological, but psychology matters. Psychology is everything.
Well, my thought is this. I think we are slowing down very quickly. I think it's accelerating the slowdown in economic growth, which is good from the Bank of England's point of view, and inflation. And I think to a certain extent, we'll see maybe within the next quarter of next year. We're only 3 months away from the new year, right? I think within the next quarter, we will see the Bank of England getting worried about the slowdown in economic growth. We're seeing really horrendous figures coming through. I think unemployment will increase, and they will step in. Anyway, this is the market today. FTSE 100 up 0.5%, 250, almost 0.81%. AIM struggling there, still struggling, below 700 points. Yeah, insurance there, not sad. Yeah, quite a bit. I don't know why that is.
I don't know why that is. Just looking at Aviva, no specific news. There must... I don't really look at the large insurers. I will find out.
Yeah, large insurance companies. I know Buffett's a big fan of insurance companies because, of course, they
take. He's got one. His whole empire is built on an insurance.
Yeah, company. Yeah, exactly. Because they
take over speculation.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of that going on. Yeah, a lot of that going on. Yeah. You know, M&A going on. So a couple of comments first of all. Let's go to the first comment, which was let's look. Can you have a look at Alpha Financial Markets Consulting? Is that an example of a downtrend? Well, let's go to the charts here. Mm. And AFM, I think the ticker is. I keep saying this, and some people, you know, don't understand what I'm saying, but I say, you know, always research a company first and foremost, and that way round. Look for a company, look what to invest in, and if you like it, then look at the chart and think, okay, is it in a downtrend?
Why,
if it is...
Why is there a drop-off? That's not a downtrend. I mean, that was an uptrend. And then
a very sharp reverse here
in late June. So
what's interesting here is, what are you doing in the chart? First of all, what sticks out to you there is numbers. That bar, isn't it? That big bar dropping down, right? So that there, think, what's that? Date is, at the bottom of the chart, 22nd of June. Okay, so let's click in here. So what happened on the 22nd of June? So you make some financial report or something. So you scroll down.
Full-year results.
Full-year results. What's wrong? So everything looking good there. Look at the figures there. 48% top-line growth. Right? It's looking all good. Adjusted profit for tax, up 30%. Then scroll down. Always look at the outlook. Shares about what's going on forward.
Especially in full-year results, because, you know, you'll know what's in them, really, from the full-year trading update. It is what they say about what's coming next that matters in full-year results.
Yeah, look at that. There we are. So it all is good. Third paragraph, though. In recent months, the global consulting market experienced increased levels of competition as a result of overcapacity, which we expect to be the market backdrop in the short term. Mm. So there we are. And also, while we see higher levels of competition, lengthening of sales cycle, we are confident that Alpha's strong client proposition and business strategy will continue to drive the market share growth. So that's when they say that, they're looking forward. What they know there is almost deciphering fact from what they think. Because their opinion. What's fact? What's opinion? Now, fact is, they are seeing competitions affecting them, okay? Now, what their opinion is, they think they will continue to drive market share. They don't know that, but people are not believing that because they sold off massively. And since then, look at that, they've come back down to this previous support level in 7th of March 2022. Now, if you look at that, look at this, John, look at that bar there. That's 6 months earlier. That's their interim results, which are a blowout. And so something's changed in the interims. And the final results, they're saying competition's coming to market. Yes, that is in a downtrend. I wouldn't touch that. Even if you want.
I'm just looking. Yeah. I mean, the numbers are great.
Yeah, but that's going to soften, isn't it? Yeah, it's going to soften the looks of it.
Well, I mean, yes, but the forecasts, you know, remain unchanged largely. So, you know, still forecast to deliver 6% top line growth this year, 75% pre-tax profit growth.
But you wait, John, look at this. Interim results last year, right? That's the 23rd of November. That's when they did well. So the trading update's on the 11th of October, right? So where are we now? So I'm assuming they've got a pre-update trading update coming out. I would wait for that, because if that's played out, that softness, that competition, then they're going to go. I mean, who's buying here? But who's selling or buying? Rathbones are, they got up to 5%. But I would wait until they come up with a trading update to give you further guidance on that. But yes, I mean, as far as downtrends, because look at that. That is literally, you know, that was the previous support there, you know, on Tuesday, 22nd of August, at around 314. It's broken down below that. And you can see it's way off the moving averages, way off. Yeah. What you see is a break above that. You can see that here. Just look at the trends. I mean, just take the 50-day, the 200-day. Look at that here. From August 2020, that's a nice trend. Nice clean air between the 200-day moving average and that. And all of a sudden, it spikes up, starts to come lower, and breaks down below it. And this is the start of a bit of turmoil here. It's still trying to break up, but it's getting a bit messy, breaking down again. So, yeah, I'd wait. It's messy, that. I'd wait. Wait the trend.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, a really nice-looking company. Certainly, you know, does consulting to the asset management industry. So, you know, lots and lots of change in the asset management industry.
So the forecast for that, and what's the valuation? What's the PE on that? Can you see?
Expensive, so I can tell you that the its forecast PE is 11 for the year ahead. Net cash on the balance sheet. It's doing operating margins of 18%, 19% near enough. You know, very decent returns. Pays a dividend yielding 4.6%. So, yeah, there's a lot to like. On the basis of the numbers and the basis of what it does and the niche it occupies, and you know, as I say, lots of activity in asset management, lots of mergers, lots of you know, changing strategies. I've been hearing today, but you know, over in the US, a lot of mutual funds are considering shifting to become ETFs, for example. Lots going on there. Chart says wait, but you know, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Okay, next comment here was on, just came in before we came on, but L Saint says, any thoughts on Sarabi Gold, SRB ticker? There have been a significant increase in gold resources, and 20 million market cap seems pretty low for a company that had $5 million a half year net profit and net assets of 90 million. I did look at that and I thought, is this any more debt here? And I did scroll through, it didn't seem to be. Like I said, I scrolled down and you know, looked at the interim results, and I thought, you know, that's Q1, that is.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but gold miners have all been struggling with the cost of production. And, you know, when you've been in a period where the gold price has been rising, you know, you would expect that the sort of leverage play, the miners, to be doing really well, but they're not. And you know, as I say, what's that loss before? But they haven't been because you know the worries about mining costs. Also, you know, the dollar's getting stronger as well, and you know the dollar and the gold price are inversely correlated.
Yeah. Okay. So this is interim results 6 months here. 30 million top line. So it's down a little bit, but profit before tax is up. And if I thought they got a lot of debt, and they really haven't. You know, they haven't got that much debt. Don't worry.
I think sentiment in this sector is poor. Really poor.
Yeah. So they got current liability of 6.4, but if you look at the total current liability, it's 13, and they got total current assets 27. So no problem with that score. Yeah. Like I said, they have got an equity of 91 million. But like I said, do you know what, chart wise, I don't mind this. It's coming round. Like I said, it's had a few fake breaks, but when you see this coming out, it needs to flatten out. So we want to flatten out a bit, and it needs to get above previous highs. So like I said, all you want is new highs, so higher highs. Mm. You've got one here, see. High. So if you can make it higher now than this and higher lows, it'd be good. But I don't mind that.
Look at gold price is heading lower at the moment. So.
Yeah, let's look at gold price. Hang on. Commands. Have you seen natural gas? I've never ever do spread bets or things. Oof. I put a little spread bet on natural gas and I'm in profit there. It was an obvious break, I thought, there. And I just put a stop loss there and it went up and broke up natural
winter
gas.
Winter is coming.
I don't know why though, because storage levels are very good across Europe, like 80-90%. So because of the Russian, you know, UK war, but I put tiny little. I last time I put a spreadbot on was about 10 years ago. I put one on. I like the chart in that regard so much. I thought, how can I play that? Look at gold. Wow.
Yeah, it's horrible. And as I say, that's dollar strength that's doing that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, higher rates. So the bond sell off.
Yeah.
You know, when you get higher rates on government, you know, risk free essentially government borrowing, then why hold gold? You know, because gold doesn't yield anything. You know, it's not a productive asset in that sense. So yeah, you've got a sort of double whammy there for gold at the moment. I mean, the gold is. I mean, it's not. You know, it's not low the price, but at the same time, it is going the wrong way. And the thing you would hold gold for is sort of portfolio insurance, but you wouldn't hold that much.
So you can see it there a couple of times. It's annoying. It's triple top there. Triple top. You don't see that very often. Whereas try to get above that three times, that 2000, so just over 2011, 2018, it's come down. I don't know where it's going to come down to, but you see this sort of. It's quite messy. I mean, the support here around about 1,800, but it has gone down to 1,600. So, it's a messy chart. That's a bit of a messy range. What you want is a nice uptrend like that, but it breaks out. It does that. That range there, it'll stay in a range for a long time, gold, and then it'll move up. So you have to be very patient with gold, I think.
I think it's just poor sentiment towards gold miners at the moment.
Okay, let's go to the front page. Let's look at the most followed Kefi again, copper gold in there in Saudi, the Ethiopia. Been trying to get that away for years and years. One of the most followed companies is Aviva. Wow.
Well, that's because of the takeover speculation.
Oh, okay, all right. Yep, 8%.
Yeah, it's about 8%. You know, when something's moving, it attracts interest. I mean, it goes
long
without
life.
Saying.
Yeah, long life. I hold some of that.
Metro
up 23%. Because they're selling off. Apparently, there's a story they're selling off. In fact, it's one of the stories I put on the front page here. But they're selling off apparently $3 billion of their mortgage. Troubled
mortgage book
sale. Scanning the Metro-wise. Yeah, plunged. I say. Those sent out by the London-listed high street lender included Lloyds Bank and NatWest Group, apparently, so city sources say. So they've obviously, been someone in those areas, those banks have been telling Sky News.
Metro has been, it's had problems with regard to its regulatory capital before. So, I mean, it's a bit accident prone.
Yeah, so Kefi Aviva, Long Life Destiny. OBD again there. Someone did incorrectly say, actually, on my podcast with Paul yesterday, Long Life haven't done their clinical 2 trials yet. They don't need clinical trials, Long Life. Okay, it's a test. It's like OBD, same thing. They are going for FDA approval. They don't have to get that to commercialize. And they'll commercialize first, then they go for FDA approval. Vast raise money again there.
Well done.
A bit of cash. Yeah, people say it's hard to raise money. Vast are doing it. Asia Met Resources, Canadian Overseas. Corporate update here. Are they up? There's a little bit of... they're saying this, the BKM project. I was talking to John Mayer, actually. I'll publish the podcast in a bit, by saying, John, what sort of critical metal or commodity do you see in biggest deficit? He said, there'll probably be some that are, small unknown sort of rare metals. But he said, in my mind, it's copper.
Copper?
Copper's going to be the one that, where is it, HG... he said, we can't build off mines for copper because everything's, EVs, everything, wind turbines, everything needs copper, And so it is, Dr. Copper, as I said, is seen as the barometer of the world growth, global health. And so, as you can see, if it is a barometer, largely the Chinese economy, you can see there it's come down and it's struggling a bit under the 200-day moving average. But we're also on the front page here. As you met, who's buying or selling Boohoo? Fraser's, there we are. They got the 13.5% now, really. Fraser Group. They're brave, isn't they? It's tickle, isn't it? Because they are getting hammered, aren't they? Look at Boohoo.
I do like their style. I do like their style.
I mean, he's buying.
He's a proper
What's
trader.
What's the deal there? Just buying everything, isn't he? Just buying everything. Just buying it's cheap. Just buy it up.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily come to a deal. Always.
Like Ashley. No.
It's worked in the past. They buy if they can get it through, then they buy. If the numbers don't look right, then they don't. But the stake building is, it's a tried and tested tactic.
Yeah, okay. So on the front page, John, let's just go to the front page a second.
Not a lot of news today, really.
It's not, was it? Is it?
No.
So we got SRT Marine readied itself for large order book. Yes. Are they down?
No, investors are nervous about this. I mean, they say the share's down about 8% today. I mean, what they've said is basically a reasonably chunky loss in the first half, and sales are, basically it's about 5.5 million, but the full year forecast is 30. So, there's a big lot of work to do in the second half. And,
So they did a half year trade update and what they're saying.
Well, there's a reason for this. So basically their existing business, their old business was transceivers. So basically, they're bits of radio kit that essentially locate boats out at sea.
Yeah.
And that's it's been sort of plugging away doing that for years. Decent business. But what it's getting into is something called maritime domain awareness. And this is like air traffic control for the seas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite remarkable. Would you get in a plane if there was nothing controlling, where all the planes were in the sky? Of course you wouldn't. But in the sea, at sea, no such systems exist in sort of any joined up way. So there's this new idea, maritime domain awareness, used to manage the maritime environment. It's also trade, environmental protection, security, all that sort of stuff. And SRT has built the system. Won some big contracts, but they're really complicated, and it's been in sort of ramp-up mode, and they start rolling out the second half. But, people are understandably jittery because we've seen it so many times before. Second half waiting. A lot of work to do in the second half and it doesn't materialise. But it's slightly different, this, I think.
Yeah. As you see there, it's now broken down. There was previous support run about 50 pence, and now it's broken down below that. And then it's almost like the chart knew. It broke down below that, tried to hold a bit, 48, down at 40 pence now.
Yeah, but its contracts are massive, by the way. And that's why they're so complicated, take so long to put together. It's got a 40 million Coast Guard contract in the Middle East. And there is a 140 million, I think it is, Coast Guard contract that's due to land in the second half after a lot of work. So I mean, these contracts are huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The app is cool. Yes. AI investor. Yeah. Use the app. Phil says Hargreaves Lansdown. I bought. What am I missing besides the obvious competition, recent scandal, 5% dividend?
I almost bought as well.
Say who did?
I was very close to pushing the trigger. I was thinking about it while I was out walking the dog, and I forgot, so I didn't buy. But I don't know what you're missing either.
Quality you want me buying and holding for some years to come. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I just think with my approach, I just want to time it better maybe because I've looked at the chart now. Stephen says, El Saint, I lost 42K on Avisoro, a small West African gold miner. Be careful. Gregory says gold extraction costs have got more expensive.
Yeah.
Not many miners making profit. That's it. Yes, in fact, spot on there, Gregory. I think that's why sentiment's low on Serabi, because you've got the costs going up. Gold is now coming down, squeezing that margin.
Yeah.
So there are very few. So there's the worry about how slim that margin will become, losing money soon. You never know.
And what will happen is even the miners that are making, well-managed, that have a lower cost base and are making a profit will just, suffer alongside those that aren't. The sentiment will drag down all boats.
Elsa, I know the pain around investing in African gold miners. I've been stuck in Kefi for over a year, although fingers crossed we should have some good news there. Let me just. I just think when you're investing in stocks and shares, right? And this is through learned pain. Okay, it's a risky business. It's all about risk and reward. And what you want to do is try and remove as much of the risk as possible. Known risks, this is, because there's always unknown risks. And then hopefully the reward is still intact. So if you can see the reward, don't worry about the reward. Start with the risks first. And then look at the reward. So you want to see good upside. And one of those risks to me, which is a known risk, and you can avoid it, is things like debt, big debt, jurisdiction is also one. You can avoid that. In risky areas, you don't have to. There's 3,000 listed companies. You don't have to invest in companies with lots of debt or in risky jurisdictions. If it's because you get more reward, sometimes that doesn't play out. It's a false economy, you know? It's hard enough trying to do this. Try and find, what would you say, John? What would you say? What's the least risky company on the stock market? And that's, start from that point of view. What's the, which company can it not go wrong for? And you probably won't get much return unless they pay a nice dividend, because it's also priced in. But then you have to up the risk a little bit to get a bit more reward. Then as long as you're dealing in known risks, you can, you know.
The least risky company on the stock market.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Though, because we think about all the known risks, you know, and then you could try to remove those, because there's always be unknown risks. You may have a dodgy CFO in there or something, you know, that's an unknown risk. But so it's hard enough anyway, dealing with the known risks. But if you're taking on those known risks, are you getting a good reward for that? I don't know. Or the, and also the probability of that big reward comes down because, you know, those risks go up.
Yeah.
Tell me, in comments, what's the least risky company you can think of listed on the stock market? And you know, have you gone through the risks? Think in that way first, not the biggest rewardy, the least risky. Think of that way. Matthew said, tells me defense is not safe anymore. Risk-free is too good in U.S. treasuries. Yeah, that's the trouble, Matthew. Pepsi and Coke, the most defensive companies in the U.S., down 5% yesterday. Yeah, it's sucking all the money out. You know, the markets, there's high bond yields and stuff. When that turns around, though, which it will do, I'm saying in 2024 it'll happen, that it'll flip. The market will start to rip, honestly. Is Metro a bad combination with Aviva? Good officially the bottom of UK stocks. I got help to buy. Only wish I was in negative equity. In fact, the reality is the government help to buy means the government is making a huge premium off my house, going up in value. Okay. Dividend. I like Alba Mining, but they're having trouble with flooding. I think it was good prospects in the long run.
They clocked the Welsh mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? Dealing in Wales on any environmental front is very hard. Very hard. Again, you know, I like learned pain. Yeah. Is Ethiopia a bad jurisdiction? No, it's now part of BRICS. I also think definitely go up. They've had wars there for like the last 10 years, isn't they? Civil wars. Are they okay now? LSEG, low risk. National Grid or Unilever, AI say.
National Grid. The problem with National Grid, I mean, I like National Grid. It's you know, it's critical infrastructure. You've got to spend a lot of money, upgrading the grid for to cope with, you know, the growth of renewables and obviously the growth in electric vehicles. So, you know, there are a lot of big projects. You know, certainly in the east of England, but everywhere, you know, transmission.
And
they're not easy projects and they cost a lot of money. So I would say there's a little bit of political risk in National Grid. So
London Stock Exchange Group, someone says there
maybe I'll chuck a risk out there. I mean, it's increasingly making a lot of its money from data.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wonder, you know, so for example, if you want to, you know, use the term FTSE 100 as someone who's commenting on the FTSE 100, you essentially, you know, to list days, for example, you've got to pay them. So I would want, you know, the trigger happy CMA, you know, I mean, surely it's got to have a look at, you know, the oligopoly on market data. That would be the risk for me there.
Yeah. Gregory says, Glaxo, folk will always need drugs, but the PE could get hit.
I think if you want to go big pharma in the UK and go for the less risky one, it's got to be Astra.
Yeah, well, if winners keep on winning, and in fact, I haven't seen the chart of AstraZeneca.
That's amazing. Look, absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, look at that. Yeah, now that there, look at that. That there is a phenomenal trend. Yes, this has dips up and down, obviously, but literally, look at that. From that date there, it went up, little dips, but the big stocks are that. But saying that, John, right? This here is, higher. Look at all these higher highs, right? You can see here all these higher highs. Now, you got a little bit of a lower high, down, lower low, or a little bit of a higher high. Maybe it's back on trend again now. So maybe that is, it's one of those stocks that literally, if it's low, unless there's a structural problem with the company, just buy. GSK, though, I did look at that the other day, and the chart is a bit messy. I was thinking, look at it. It doesn't really just go up and down. So essentially, buy here, sell there, buy low, sell high, all the way through. And it's carried on since 2016. There's no trend there. Literally, put a price alert on right here, 13 quid, start accumulating, they pay a dividend, they, and then it shoots back up there. So yeah, it's an awful, that's a problem. They've had problems with structural changes there, haven't they? And
I would go for Diageo.
Yeah, they're not cheap though, are they?
Diageo. No, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I know. You've got to pay for quality. Well, in fact, now I probably, you know, look at that. That is like, it doesn't, you know, if you look at the chart now again, it's a nice uptrend. COVID dash for cash grass, of course, it's going to hit that because people are maybe not going out so much drinking stuff. That's a 52-week low, pretty much. And you know what they say, you never buy anything at a 52-week low, never sell anything at a 52-week high because momentum is very strong. Yeah. Selling to get selling by, so I would wait until that curves around.
Nice, seems great company though. I mean, and the other two I pick out, I like Compass Contract Catering, and I like Diploma, which I've been taking more of a look at since it came up the other day.
Where's Compass? Compass Group, is it? Okay, yeah, look at that. From Dash for Cash Crash, nice. From 9.
Well, I mean, you know, there was a very, very specific reason why it was hit so hard.
Yeah.
During COVID, because it provides canteens in workplaces. So unless we have another global shutdown, which seems very unlikely to ever happen again, and certainly within our lifetimes, then, you know, that will never happen again.
Yeah. Okay. So what else is there? Valorex statement. I don't know why it's going up. They said that the company notes published EUDA Health Holdings Limited in relation to proposed merger with... I have no idea what that's about. Anything else? Oh, what about Wetherspoons? Anything? Any good from Wetherspoons?
Numbers look all right, didn't they?
They're down sort of 4%. Is he had a bit of rant here?
Oh, he's always having a rant. What's he ranting about today? He's still ranting about lockdowns, I think.
Yeah, as we said last year, perhaps the biggest threat to the hospitality industry is the possibility of further lockdowns. Those interested in the government's response to the pandemic may like to read the reports by Professor he's always on his, in The Guardian by Professor Dingwall of the University. He's always pointing out to these guys who said about the lockdowns basically weren't good for anything.
I think people would rather hear what's going on in the business these days. I mean, I really do. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Do you know what? I feel like Tim. What's his name?
Tim Martin.
Yeah. Do your own podcast. If you want to rant on about
stuff. He's got his own newspaper.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, the Weatherspoon. Go back to that. I can't remember what it's called. The Weatherspoon Gazette or whatever it's called. The Weatherspoon Daily or where is it? Weatherspoon News. There it is. Weatherspoon News. No, I like this company and I like what it does. And I think it's.
What is that? Total number of sites. Okay, they got. Wow.
Some detailed information, but.
It is, yeah.
There is stuff about the business. So I didn't get that far down. I got switched off at the moment about lockdowns.
Where's the commercial? Oh, yeah. Oh, I hate that.
It's just.
Yeah, I do know what.
It's not a sector. I like the company. I like what they do. Just it's not a sector I want exposure to at the moment, especially pubs.
Like for like sales. Well, do you know what? I think these sectors have been hammered down. Be prepared when the central banks. Do you see that thing I tweeted out yesterday about apparently a think tank thinks that the UK Bank of England will reduce rates faster because our labour market is loosening faster than the US, and so we're poised here. It's typical when you're at an all time low, you have a flush out like we did this week. Just everything's sold off. It forms a base there. All the sellers are out. All the people peeing their pants are out, and the people start buying in a bit now.
They've got a fair amount of debt, haven't they, old J.D. Wetherspoon?
Have they? Okay, let's have a look. Scroll down. Where's the financial reports there? All the way down here.
Well, at the full year, it's about 1.4 billion.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even find the thing. I can't even find the... what's that? It's cash flows. I don't want cash flows. Where's the balance sheet? Oh, yeah. Borrowings, 4.2 billion in current.
So you've got
current assets 159, current liabilities 387.
Basically a fair old chunk of borrowings and obviously that costs rising interest rates are not great for that, and difficult pub markets. Pubs are valued on turnover, properties are valued on turnover, so it's been I guess that is just, you know, and it's the same problem for all pub groups, you know, very, very, very debt hungry.
Yeah. So look at that, right? That's a typical example of a trend changing in a stock. All you got to do is try and avoid downtrends first and foremost, and then if you get a bit better, try and avoid ranges as well. But downtrends you want to avoid. Like I said, share price,
double your money from the bottom.
Yeah, look at that. Share price are rolling over 50-day moving average is the red. You know, it hasn't gone below that. You know, in this section here, certainly didn't go below that there. All of a sudden, it crosses 50-day, then 200-day. Uh-oh, what's happening? And a lower high there, right? There's the last high. Lower high starts going down, then it can't get above the 50-day moving average pretty much. It tries a couple of times, but you should always put alerts on 50-day just as a warning. Is it a trade trend? When you get a V like that, it's not very good. It's a full bottom. And now you're coming here, this is the bottom forming here. One, two, okay? And then it rises up, breaks 50-day moving average pretty much here. Previous highs, and you could say, which is crosses 200-day moving average. Nice little uptrend, but now it's broken down again. What's happening? Cost of debt is, that's probably going to get a range again now. So it's bounced off an oversold level, but now it has to probably form a range here. But yeah, you see that definite downtrend. Anything else on the front page, John, before we...
Cortex.
Cortex, one of the biggest fallers there, aren't they?
Yeah, massive faller.
23%. What do they do? And
it's fleet telematics.
Okay, yeah.
I think the problem here is... I think it's France in particular switching
it's
off.
It's France, isn't it?
Always bloody France. Switching off its 2G network, and it seems that a lot of Cortex's kit runs off of 2G networks. So a bit of a problem there. So it's going to cost.
Here we go. Scroll to the Outlook again, and you got although I never like you in start with although. What? Hang on a second. So, although the company has made good progress in annualized recurring revenues, the board does not now believe the rate of growth has been sufficient to achieve the current market expectations for revenue in 2023 or 2024. It has now reduced its own expectations by approximately close to a million and 2.6 million, respectively. So, even for next year as well, 24. So, yeah, so it's a little bit of worry. They're considering a dividend payment or reduction, whatever. I don't know. But the cash business. Yeah, so Cortex, what was the ticker there? QTX.
Yeah, I mean, this is quite a good business. To be caught out by something like...
Well, that's a downtrend there, though. Look at that. Regardless, check the chart out.
I mean, to sort of be caught unawares by the possibility that a network provider is going to switch off a 2G network that your products depend upon.
Yeah.
Seems a bit schoolboy to me. And the... What I think is the founder is coming back to the company as chairman. So, you know, that is a sign that somebody is rather irritated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's it has been a decent company. You know, it has
okay,
grown.
Sorry. Gregory says Spoon's food gone downhill. Spoon's burgers always burnt. You need to sack that particular chef because they're working with a formula. You know, they're doing burgers. You need to change the formula or get rid of the chef.
Yeah, is it generous?
All right, cook, whatever. The guy flipping the burgers. But are you asking for it very, very well done, Greg? Is that the problem?
Just
ask for it very, very, very well done. It comes burnt. What's wrong with them?
So anyway, Cortex, it's not, you know, it's always been profitable, but it hasn't really grown. For you know, half a decade or thereabouts. So
okay, well, there we are. What's going to change that fundamental financial?
The chairman coming back, who's very very cross.
Okay, coming to the board. Right, it's been half a decade now. Anyway, for retirement, come back. Yeah. You've run this thing into the bloody ground.
Yeah, not quite the ground, but
okay, yeah.
But yes.
Anything else? Any news? Anything? Fallers there. A tribal group. Metro is up, bouncing on, trying to sell that stuff. Sell their mortgage book. They're in trouble. Vast is down. VR is.
Ictech big selling by the founder, by the biggest shareholder.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's never reassuring, is it?
No.
They bought some. It was the Altair Group.
Yeah,
the director, he's purchased. What is that then? It's director dealing here. They're purchasing, aren't they? Where's the sell?
Today.
I can't see that. Holdings there.
Yeah. There you go. Reduced from
15 to 12. Sorry, 13.
So, you know, that, and that's the biggest shareholder.
Yeah.
That's why you're seeing the pressure on the share price today.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing else of any specific note today.
Okay, that's about it, really. And just one thing, just finish off just quickly, and it's getting my nerves a little bit. I just think, if you go on Twitter, there are some traders who, like I said before, shout and scream when they make a bit of profit on a falling knife trade, right? I'm just saying, be a bit more humble, understand that people lost money in that stock, and don't go shouting and screaming, saying, I made some money, because there are people, it dropped 60% one day, 60%, and there are people, investors, who genuinely believe in that project, and as horizontal miners. And I think just jumping up and down, and people having a go at them, and then they're just throwing it back in their face, saying, yeah, I've made some money. Do you know what? Successful people, investors, traders, don't shout about it. They don't need to. And if people shout about it, other people have to try and prove they're making money. So, you know, understand there are people out there who've lost money. It's never nice to lose money. And, you know, just a bit of class, you know. Do you know what I'm saying, John? A bit of class. In this era of, like, showing off on social media, on Instagram, I'm sitting next to a Ferrari, I'm in a Lamborghini, or I think, let's have a bit of class here, you know. Be a bit more humble. And think of other people.
It's not the way of the world, though, is it?
You know. Yes.
I think it's been amplified by social media.
Yeah, it has.
You know, post book. Look at my watch type stuff.
I know. I saw this guy today doing all that. Like, I got a couple of Lambos because my accountant said I need to buy stuff because I'm marketing it. I've got this flash watch, this Lambo, a couple of Lambos. Listen, mate, you're not...
Cashmere jumpers.
Yeah. Branded logo T-shirts. Penthouse flat in London. Yeah. What is that logo on that T-shirt, John, by the way?
It's Standard Heating Oil. It's a film. it's not a real company. It's from a film.
Just have a bit of
challenge
class.
I challenge anyone to name the film.
Yeah. Honestly, genuinely very well-off successful people don't boast. They don't need to. The only people who need to boast are the people who are losing money and then they make the odd win now and again and they shout about it like they're the best out there. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say. You know. Have a nice weekend. Any plans this weekend, John?
No. Gardening, tidying.
Rock and roll! Yeah, gardening, man. Tidying. And a bit of rugby's on. You don't watch rugby, do you?
Occasionally.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's.
I forgot the Rugby World Cup was on. It seems to be played out over the course of several years.
They do drag it out. Honestly. There's a couple of teams just to make up the numbers. They're getting thrashed like 80-90 nil, and you think, guy, you shouldn't really be in it, should they? They don't really play rugby. There's about 20 people in that country play rugby, and they're all on the pitch. You know, literally the entire country who play rugby is on the pitch for them.
Yeah, it's a strange space. Well, I guess it's going to hit hot up from here, so I might watch a few matches now.
As is the weather. The climate change. That's why we need to go to renewables. Everyone, thank you very much, everyone. Don't forget it. Like, subscribe button if you could. Like it, share it with everyone you know. Anyone you know. You know, walk down the street. Just show it to people on your phone. Do that. Have a nice weekend. And we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.